You're listening to the Washington Hospitality Industry Podcast, your primary source of information related to the hospitality industry in Washington State.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome. Today, we have Steve Hooper, the president of financial services with Tip House and formerly of Ethan Stoll Restaurants, and Patrick Yearout from Ivers. He is the senior innovation and recruitment director, and they are going to talk about Tip House and tip automation. But before we get to that, I have a little bit of housekeeping to get to. We have two webinars coming up in the next couple of weeks. Next week at 10 a.m. on May 22nd, we're going to hear from some folks at Parker Smith & Feek and My Hospitality Insurance who are talking about crime insurance and policies to help reduce crime in your area. And then on June 12th at 10 a.m., the folks from Adesso will be on talking about their new lending program. Both of those you can find on our website if you would like to attend and register. Today's webinar will be recorded and will be up on our website later on this afternoon, along with the three PowerPoint slides that we're going to show during this, which will have links to Steve and Patrick's LinkedIn profiles. And also the link to Tip House on our website. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and get started and introduce Steve and Patrick. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Why don't the two of you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and give us a fun fact about yourself. Patrick, you go first.
Thank you. Well, I work for Ivers Restaurants. For those of you who aren't familiar with Ivers, we've been around since 1938, and we are a seafood concept, and we have both full service and quick service seafood. We also operate some stands at local sports stadiums, and then we have the Ivers Soup Company, which manufactures the chowder and soups we sell in our restaurants, but we also sell them to other restaurants, grocery stores, Sam's Club, Costco, all across the United States. So we do a little bit of everything when it comes to the restaurant industry. And I have personally been in the restaurant industry for 32 years. I started at a sandwich shop, working with a friend of mine, and we did that for about 7 years. And then I have been at Ivers now for 25 years. Well, almost 25 years. 25 years next month will be my anniversary date. And so very happy to be here today. Thank you.
Hi, Steve Hooper, currently the president of financial services here at Tip House. I'll insert my fun fact into the middle. I'm not just the president of Tip House, but I was also a customer. So up until about this time last year, I was the president of Ethan Stoll Restaurants. I did that for a few years and had the opportunity to work with the Tip House team as a customer on that side across a variety of different restaurants from our kind of fast casual counter service pizza locations all the way up to our kind of higher end experiences like How to Cook a Wolf and Staple and Fancy and everything in between. And so had a lot of good experiences with all of that. So yes, I'm doing technology stuff now, but I'm restaurants are my heart, and being able to help them day in and day out is a great joy these days.
All right. Well, let's get started. Today's format is going to be a little bit different than what our members are used to. What we are going to do today is we're going to have a little Q&A with Patrick and Steve. I will ask them some questions. And when we're done, you can go ahead and type any questions that you might have in the Q&A section on the bottom of your screen, and we can answer those live. So let's go ahead and dig into this. Steve, what's the history of tipping at your restaurant or in your business? And Patrick, you can answer when he's done.
Great. Yeah. So, you know, obviously tips are a big part of the restaurant industry at all levels, particularly these days. And so we utilized two different kinds of tip pools at ESR while I was there. At counter service, we were kind of a whole house tip pool based on hours worked. There weren't really big differentiations. But in our first full service restaurants, we had a pretty complicated tipping structure that was utilized to sort of differentiate between levels and roles within the restaurant. So for example, the front of house was 60% of the tip pool, and the back of house was 40%. And within the back of house, you know, we would allocate different point levels to the different levels you had in your restaurant. So it was a fairly complicated calculation. And the, you know, all of that was done outside of any actual software. We were doing all the calculations using Excel or Google Sheets. You know, there were issues with time punches and all that kind of stuff. So we had, it was, you know, a fair amount of manual labor to sort of manage all of those tips and the calculations and making sure they were right for getting into payroll and onto paychecks. So that's kind of how tipping kind of worked for a number of years at ESR.
And at Ivers, we've, you know, in at least in our full service restaurants, we've had tipping since the beginning. You know, we've always done tipping in full service, except for a 2-year period about a decade ago where we tried all in pricing. The employees were okay with it. The guests did not like it. So we reverted back to the tipping model that we have now. And right now in full service, it's you know, it's a tip out where the servers and all the different servers in the dining room, the deck, the bartenders tip out the other employees, including the bussers, the hosts, and the expos, and the kitchen staff as well. And then in quick service, we didn't do tipping until about a year and a half ago. We started right at the beginning of 2023, and we started with Tip House. So we don't have any experience in quick service outside of Tip House, because Tip House is what made that possible in our quick service locations. Similar to what Steve was saying, it was previously a very labor heavy task in full service, and we just didn't have the manpower in quick service to make that possible. And so we had to start with a tip tool like Tip House to make it work.
I asked you this earlier. Did you find that that helps with your retention in quick service to actually having tips?
Well, definitely. In the past year, the number of employees that we've had to hire is down 31% from the year before we had tipping and quick service. So I think it's definitely made an impression on our people.
You're muted.
I am. Thank you so much. Patrick, why don't you go ahead and start with this one? How did you historically manage the tips and tip distribution for your teams? And who was responsible for those calculations?
Well, in full service, back in the old days, you know, many, many years ago, most of our transactions were in cash. You know, the guests would pay in cash. They would leave their tips in cash, and then the servers would go home each night with the cash. And so there wasn't really a lot of, you know, work involved. The challenge became when more and more of our guests started to pay with credit cards, and, you know, credit cards became the more prevalent form of paying for these transactions. And when we got to that point, there wasn't as much cash on hand. And so the managers had to do a lot of work to reconcile, to make sure everybody was getting the right amount of money, make sure it matched up with the POS. And oftentimes they'd have to cut checks at the end of the night to pay the servers their tips. And so it became a lot of work for the managers. And then about 12 years ago, we moved to integrating all of our tips into the payroll system, because we were just getting so many, you know, credit card payments. It worked out to be easier that way on a nightly basis. But then on a weekly basis, we had to do everything that Steve was mentioning before. You know, we had to go through all the reconciling for the managers and the bookkeepers in the restaurants. And so it was a lot of work, a very messy journey to get there through full service.
And Steve?
Yeah, so the kind of the process internally, we obviously had the point of sale system with all the, we utilized Toast with all the clock in and clock out information, and all the, you know, the wage data as well that lived in both Toast and ADP, which was our the payroll platform. And there were daily sheets that need to be filled out by the managers and to ensure that we captured all the data about who was working and didn't miss any punches and all of that kind of stuff. So there was a lot of audit trail that had to happen. Towards the end in 2022, when we were working with the Tip House platform and starting to work on implementing it, at that time we had two folks in payroll that were working on this. And what I did a little time work study that sort of showed how much time our team was working on tips or on all of the parts of their job. And what I found was that the two payroll folks were spending about a day and a half, 2 days a week each working on the tip spreadsheets or dealing with tips or emailing, you know, the managers to follow up on something or getting somebody's punches correct. Like there were just so many touch points and so much manual work that needed to occur that it was burning up 3 to 4 days of people time. And once the Tip House platform was implemented, it just automated so much of that process. It simplified so many things for us. So what we were able to do was actually just reallocate some of that work to, you know, that time to other tasks. And we were able to remove the daily tip sheets that the managers had to fill out. That became a thing of the past. So the managers were really excited about that change because that was a weekly task. And sometimes they'd have to do work like on vacation or their day off because it was required to get in on Monday so that payroll could be run, you know, on Wednesday, right? Like all of those, you know, intricacies and dependencies that are required to get payroll out every week. So that was a complicating factor. And you know, we did pay all of our tips on payroll. That was just part and parcel. And all of it's because of what Patrick said, right? Everything is paid out on credit card these days for the most part. You know, data coming from the Tip House side, we know that 94% of all tips are paid on credit card these days. That just does not leave enough cash in the restaurant. And you know, it creates all kinds of headaches having to actually bring cash in order to tip people out if you want to continue with that model. So that's kind of how the process worked previously. Was just it was a lot of manual time of managers and the payroll team to complete the calculations. Muted again.
I thought I hit that one. Okay, Steve, how have you structured your tip pools and sharing historically, and what goals do you attempt to achieve by structuring those tip pools?
Yeah, I mean, the model that we were utilizing back then while I was still involved at ESR was really to develop sort of a sense of team dynamic to, you know, we're all in this together. We're all working hard. You know, if the food is not as good or slow coming out, then the servers, you know, can't turn the tables or deliver the level of service that they want to. And if the servers aren't, you know, delivering on their end, then, you know, the kitchen can't do what they need to do well. And so it was really a mental model of supporting that team whole house dynamic, right? Breaking down that front of house, back of house wall in all of our full service locations. I thought, you know, for the most part, it was fairly successful. The other thing that we utilized it for was, you know, with, you know, where minimum wage has been in our state over the last, you know, 10 years in particular, became harder and harder to have different wages in the front and back of the house. And so we leveraged the tip pool to create some of that differentiation in roles where, you know, a sous chef would get a 3 share and a line cook would get a 2 share and a dishwasher would get a 1 share. So you kind of had you ended up with different pay at the end of each pay period, but it mostly came out of the tip pool. So there were two kind of competing interests that we were trying to accomplish utilizing our tip structure. And that's what led to a lot of the complications for us.
Patrick?
My answer would be very similar to what Steve was saying. In our full service locations, you know, we do have the tip out structure so that everybody is sharing in the benefit of the tipping. You know, you could say that the server is, you know, the face of the restaurant in most cases because they're the one interacting with the guests, but they're certainly not the only person that guarantees an exceptional or memorable dining experience. You know, the food has to be prepped and cooked and plated correctly. It has to be, you know, the restaurant has to be clean. The hosts have to manage the flow of the restaurant. Everybody's working together to create these great dining experiences. And so that's why we feel like sharing the tips among everybody is really important. And then in our quick service locations, it is a tip pool, And then everybody, well, every employee, not the managers, but every employee shares equally based on how many hours they work that week and the tips that come in. And for most of them in quick service, depending on the time of the year and what restaurant they're in, how busy it is, they're getting an extra $8 to $14 an hour because of the tip pool in our quick service locations.
All right, Patrick, how have things changed for Ivers and later Steve, Ethan Stoll restaurants since implementing a tip automation solution?
Well, in quick service, it made it possible. As I said before, we just didn't have the manpower to do all the tasks that were involved with, manual tip calculation. So we wouldn't have tipping in quick service without tip automation through Tip House. And in full service, as Steve was saying, it takes all those tasks, all those manual tasks, all those pieces of paper and spreadsheets and, relegates them to the past. If I could give a comparison for another part of the daily routine, that would be scheduling. I know a lot of managers have old school ways of doing scheduling and they do it all on paper or on a spreadsheet and print it out. And it's a very labor intensive process. And then you find a tool like, Hot Schedules or something, and everything's suddenly automated and integrated and communicated out to the team. And you realize as a manager, you don't have to spend half your week doing the schedule. And so it's genuinely changed a lot for our restaurants.
Yeah, and I'd say there are kind of two parts to that. As I mentioned before, significantly decreased the workload for the payroll team in particular, and took work off of the managers having to, manage things and double check things and whatnot. As long as the time punches were correct all week, there was very little work for anybody to do. Once the tip house solution was fully implemented. So that, that became the main task for the manager, was just making sure punches were correct and whatnot. And I think, removing work from managers just gives them more time to spend on team and training and guest experience and all the things that they should be focused on, as opposed to, all the back office tasks that we've loaded them up with over the years because, of all of these different things. I guess the other thing I'd say is that the improvements in the automation and the consistency of the calculations, and the fact it's not in a spreadsheet, which is inherently a little fallible, meant there were fewer errors. So at least once, sometimes twice a year, there would be some miscalculation or something that would get copy and pasted incorrectly into the Excel spreadsheet. And some people would get overpaid in that restaurant and some people would get underpaid. And so like those errors, they cost money and time and having to cut checks and that kind of thing. So it kind of, while errors, like with anything, errors are possible. It significantly reduced the chance of a human error that could cause, some cases, multi-$1,000 mistakes that we would have to eat as a restaurant group. So those kinds of things just sort of start going away, which are benefits that are a little bit soft costs. There aren't things you're thinking about when you're thinking about implementing something like this, but do have an impact on your bottom line at the end of the year.
How has this changed the employee experience? Steve, let's start with you.
Sure. At ESR, we had not rolled out the employee app yet, and so I'll kind of put it on to the what we've seen on the tip house side from the thousands of restaurants across the country that have, and what we're seeing is the transparency of the employee app is huge for employees and employers. They know exactly what they made yesterday and they can see it in real time. They don't have to go ask their manager or payroll or that kind of thing and that transparency of what they're going to earn on the tips brings them a lot of confidence. We can talk briefly about it later, but the second piece of that is employees, once they see their tips every day, sometimes start asking to have them paid out again. Much like Patrick was saying, back in the early days of Ivers, it was all cash going out the door and you'd walk out with a lot of cash in your pocket. Well, that's not possible with all the credit cards. And so it was actually employees of the restaurants that were on Tip House that were seeing their tips in their app that were pushing to say, well, why can't I get paid those? And so the team at Tip House went to work developing the earned tip access product to actually allow for it to be paid out every day digitally. And so it's been a great success and a great opportunity to get daily pay into the hands of employees that, you know, honestly, they've got chances to work at Uber or DoorDash or, you know, other platforms that can pay every day. And so this is a way to sort of combat some of that daily pay pressure and sort of make the job a little stickier for employees that, you know, otherwise could work at places that do pay daily.
Patrick, same question.
Ditto. No. Yeah, I think everything that Steve was saying, you know, applies to us as well. The transparency, the reduction of errors, the reduction of tasks that are involved for the management team so that they can spend more time with their team members doing the things that they need to do, training and, you know, making sure that the experience is great for the guests. You know, I think so far it's been very positive from everybody. And I keep going back to quick service, but you know, it again, Tip House made that possible in quick service. So all of our employees who are now earning that extra $8 to $14 an hour, you know, seem to be very happy that money is coming in, you know, above and beyond what they earn on their paychecks.
So, what kind of employee feedback have you received after implementing this, Patrick?
Oh, you know, again, very positive. They seem to like the system, and for all the reasons that we just mentioned, the transparency, the reduction of errors, all of that is a very positive step forward for us in the Tip House or in the, you know, in the tipping arena. Again, we in full service, we had a very messy journey to get there, and so to not have to worry about all those things that we worried about in the past, that's very helpful and well liked by the employees.
Steve?
Yeah, and I think, you know, in some ways the entire process was a little bit hidden from the majority of the employees at ESR because we hadn't rolled out the app yet. But, you know, from a manager and payroll team and accounting perspective, it simplified so many things for everybody that kind of touched the tip calculations in that process. So it was a significant improvement on workflow and reduction and sort of effort on that particular task.
And can you share any tips or strategies for effectively communicating the benefits of tip automation to your staff members and gaining their buy-in? Steve, let's start with you.
So what we've seen be successful across, you know, I think we're, I don't know, 3,000, 3,200 locations, something like that across the country that have rolled out Tip House at this point. And what we've seen work well is sort of working closely with a few employees that understand a little bit or are a little more bought in and helping them, you know, maybe rolling out the app to them first so they get to see it and then they start talking to their team members. And it sort of becomes this sort of natural progression within the restaurant that actually helps see the benefits of what it can do. So that's been the most sort of successful model that we've seen is sort of the slow rollout of it kind of one step at a time, just to sort of get that buy-in as opposed, you know, we find that people are afraid of change. It's sort of a natural human instinct to worry about, well, how is this going to affect me? And once you can show that it actually makes things easier and better and more transparent, then you know, pretty quickly people go from fear to excitement.
Patrick?
That's a tougher question for me to answer just because of the way it evolved here at Ivers. And in quick service, we never had tipping. So, you know, there wasn't any concern about things changing. It was just adding to their paycheck. And in full service, we'd already converted over, you know, a decade earlier to doing the tips through the payroll. So there wasn't as much change that they would see on the front end there. You know, it was mostly the you know, I think the biggest challenge for us was making sure it worked for our accounting team. So they're the ones that we, you know, had to sell on this, that it would be something that would be easier for them and better for them. And so we involved them from the very beginning. You know, from the very first meeting with Tip House, we had our director of accounting, we had our payroll person in on those meetings so they could ask all those questions. And so they could feel comfortable that this would work for them. And, you know, it wouldn't throw them into a state of confusion and chaos and everything like that. So that was, at least for us, where the communication part came.
How did the transition to Tip House impact your overall operational efficiency and workflow, Patrick?
Well, everything that, you know, we've already talked about, just eliminating all the reconciliation sheets and the spreadsheets and all the tasks that were being done, freeing up the manager's time to actually take care of the restaurant and take care of their guests and their team members. Everything like that. It's great when you have something that automates tasks like that and, you know, suddenly saves you hours and hours and hours of time every week.
Steve?
Similarly, just a lot of efficiencies gained, significant time reduction, fewer errors, you know, better reporting. And I think one thing that folks don't think about is reduction of liability and risk in a lot of cases. So that's something that, you know, having a great audit trail down to the penny of where every tip came from, where every tip went to, all of your rules about that, you know, within the employee app itself, there's actually a tab in there that shows you exactly what the tip rules are that your restaurant is operating under. So you can't ever say, well, I didn't know what the rules were. It was like, well, did you open the free app that happened to have all of that information available? It kind of cuts off certain, you know, arguments about why someone might not know how they were earning their money and things like that. So some liability benefits as well that we don't really talk about much, but is a definite benefit.
All right, we have about two more questions here before we get into the audience questions. Steve, what kind of advice would you give to other restaurant operators considering implementing tip automation for their establishments?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how your operation is set up in a lot of cases. And in general, one of our sales guys here at Tip House likes to say is, if you take tips, you have a tip management problem. And in general, it's pretty much true. I think lots of folks have ways that they do it today, and they've worked for some period of time, in some cases, years or decades. And that's all great. But the world's shifting in this regard, and particularly with the increases in minimum wage and a lot of that kind of stuff, the use of tip pools for both front and back of house and all of these things is significantly complicated things. So, you know, I think, you know, whether you're a single location and you're running your restaurant yourself and, you know, you're having to do all these tasks, this will reduce the amount of workload that's on you. If you're a bigger group that has, you know, a team that is doing it, or your managers are doing, or that kind of thing, it'll help, you know, simplify their lives and whatnot. So, you know, it's a piece of software that wasn't really needed 10 years ago. And what's been great about it is it sort of, you know, as it's becoming more and more necessary, I think groups are finding that it's making it even easier than they hoped when they finally signed up for the software. So that's kind of the, I guess, look at your operations, think about how much time you spend on different things, you know, doing these calculations. If you're using a spreadsheet today for any reason at any part of the process, then this is a tool that will make your life just that little bit easier going forward.
Patrick?
I think a lot of people don't realize how much time they're spending when it comes to tip management and overseeing and administering the tip program. It's kind of the same, as I mentioned before, with the scheduling. You've been doing it so long in that particular way, you might not realize that it's taking up hours and hours of your day. And so, you know, having something like Tip House available, it definitely is going to save you a lot of time and money and heartache and so it's a great solution to look into. I would say for any restaurant, you know, considering any tech solution, you want to make sure, of course, that it's going to integrate with the tools that you already have. You know, make sure that it's going to integrate with your POS system and your your, you know, however you, whatever you use for payroll. That's an important consideration. And then one other thing that I tend to look for when it comes to any tech company is to see if they have anybody on their senior management team who has a restaurant background or has restaurant industry experience. I find that when you have somebody at that level who can help to shape the product and shape the guest experience and you know, shape the company culture, because they understand the challenges that come with being in restaurants, and they understand the things that we go through every day and all the, you know, everything that comes along with working in the restaurant industry. When you have somebody at a senior level who can make that impression and you know, move the company forward in a way that is more supportive of the restaurant industry, it's always a benefit, because so many tech companies don't get restaurants. They think they get restaurants, but they don't really get them. And so to have somebody like Steve at Tip House, I think is so crucial to, you know, making the experience better for us restaurant operators.
All right. Patrick, how do you see the future of tip automation evolving in the restaurant industry? And what trends or developments do you anticipate?
Well, as Steve touched upon, I think when it comes to you know, the proliferation of laws regarding tipping, and you know, not even just tipping, but wage transparency and prevention of wage theft, having a tool that provides a clear, auditable trail for your, you know, anybody who might be asking, whether that's the Office of Labor Standards or the IRS or any other government agency that might be asking for it, is really, really essential. You know, there's been a lot of discussion on this topic, and certainly a few new laws in the Seattle area, Washington State as well, regarding wage theft and or prevention of wage theft. And so, you know, previously, again, everything was scattered amongst a bunch of computers and on handwritten notes. And now we have everything all together. And so if anybody asks, we can show them exactly how the tips were calculated. And I would say also, you know, when we talked about how our guests kind of moved from paying with cash to paying with credit cards. And I think that's only going to continue being more of a challenge as we get more online payments and more mobile payments, and there's going to be less and less cash used in the restaurants. And if you're still doing it the old way, you know, it's almost impossible to pay people out with when you don't have any cash on hand. So having a tool like this makes it, you know, just makes it possible to continue tipping.
Steve?
Yeah, so sitting where I sit now, over at Tip House, and seeing kind of the things both that we're working on and that sort of customers are asking us for, you know, I've always kind of said that tips are sort of like the ultimate, you know, guest sentiment check. Like, how did a guest feel about their experience? And the tip is a good representation of that, by and large. And so, you know, I think tipping it's going to continue. It's going to morph and change and other things. There's some good questions that I think we'll get to later around use of service charges and things like that that are going to continue to proliferate. And there's other models like, you know, Fire and Vine and Chad McKay utilizing the commission-based model and some other things. So there's lots of different ways that folks will kind of utilize these different tools to kind of make sure that people get paid fairly and you know, are keeping in compliance with the laws and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, like I said earlier, 10 years ago, this wasn't a piece of software that was required. And now, as you know, more and more agencies look at tips and that kind of stuff in particular, and making sure you've got a robust history and backlog and all that is going to become even more critical as we move forward, like Patrick was saying. So I think, you know, now is a great time to get started. You know, we track, there's a little internal channel we have here at Tip House about kind of industry news and what's going on with tipping in different parts of the country and things like that. And the reality is almost daily, there's a new lawsuit related to tips or a tip pool or something that wasn't being handled correctly by an operator. And we definitely get phone calls from those operators the day after that lawsuit hits, not the day before. So, and we've all seen it, right? It's been around Seattle and the walkouts, and lack of transparency, and all that kind of stuff. So I think, you know, it's an important thing to get right. It's people's money. So I think that's why it's growing as fast as it is right now.
All right. Now we're going to get into some audience questions. I'll just let either one of you answer these questions. We have about 25 minutes left. With the expanded use of service charges being seen, are people utilizing Tip House to pay out revenue that went to the restaurant instead of a gratuity or a traditional tip? And do you have any accounts that solely utilize a service charge that goes through to the restaurant and then paid out through Tip House?
So yes, the answer is 100% yes on all that. So any form of tip, auto gratuity, service charges, however you're bringing in that money from the guests, our software will recognize that and be able to allocate it based on the rules that are set that you allocate. So within the software, you get to determine what it is, how it gets allocated, and where it goes, and then you've got the full audit trail of all of that flowing through the restaurant.
All right. Over the years, there have been legal issues from the U.S. Department of Labor regarding tip pools with the back of the house sharing tips that received. What is the current status of this law, and how does Tip House mitigate this challenge currently, as well as any potential future changes in the current law?
Yeah, so those are great, all great questions. So one of the benefits of working with Tip House is tips is all we think about as a team pretty much all day long. We've got all kinds of Google alerts set up for any time a law is changing and things like that. Like, you know, we're letting our operators down in California know that on July 1st, they're not allowed to use surcharges and service charges and other things because of a change in the laws down in California. And operators are like, what? I didn't know anything about that. So like we're on top of all of these changes and making sure our operators know what's changing and how they need to sort of adjust their business to meet current requirements and laws and all that kind of stuff. So that's one side of it. The other piece is that we, because of the way the software works, we know that we're going to calculate it right every time, right? And there's sort of a certain amount of consistency that you can count on with us that, you know, again, manual errors, they happen. And so it takes certain risks off the table because we've all heard about the lawsuits and one little mistake here or there. And, you know, we'd love to get to a place where, you know, one of those attorneys sees that you're working with Tip House and they're like, eh, I'm not even going to bother. We know that their calculations are right.
And if I could just add one thing, which is definitely, if you're not a member of the Washington Hospitality Association, it's worth joining the Seattle Restaurant Alliance, of which Steve used to be the president. It's worth joining. You know, we're also part of an HR roundtable, so we all kind of alert one another when things change and try and keep up on what's going on. But yeah, there are resources out there to help you as an operator to keep up on all these changes. And Lord knows there's been a million changes when it comes to tipping over the last few years. But yeah, there are resources available if you would like to participate.
Yeah, thank you for that, Patrick. We do have a tip pooling toolkit on our members only site if anybody
you do. Checking that out. I've used it many, many, many times.
All right. You mentioned paying out tips daily. How is this handled, and does the tax impact of these tips on their paychecks get addressed or at least estimated on those payouts?
Great question, Eric. So yes, the tips are you know, the Earn Tip Access product. The way it works is once you do the calculations, there's a button inside the platform that you hit, and within that, we recommend a reserve amount. So some restaurants it'll be 20 or 25%. Some restaurants will reserve 50%, and so it'll pay out whatever amount that you set as a restaurant, and then the balance gets reconciled through payroll. On the paycheck. So all those are, again, we make recommendations based on what we see works for other groups, but you can do what works best for your group and what you know is a good situation for how your operations work and what your employee base looks like and what typical tax withholdings need to be and all those kinds of fun things. So yes, it can be paid out daily, and the restaurant gets to set at what level the payout happens within that.
Can Tip House separate credit card tips from other non-cash tips?
Correct. Yes. So each type of tip is got its own designation within the platform, and so you can set different rules for different streams of tips or gratuities, service charges, or whatever's coming in. We can differentiate between them and allocate them differently if that's how your rules are set up.
And we allocate our tips, whether they come in at cash or you know, electronically, we allocate them the same. So Tip House can do that too.
Exactly. Yep. So both directions. And, you know, let's say your restaurant, you want to just, you know, ignore the cash and hand it out to the employees, you know, because it's a small amount anyways. That's something you can do. I wouldn't recommend it, but you can do it.
Can the software be used in a unit that has both QSR for tip distribution based on hours, as well as full service with tip share as distribution basis?
Yes, actually. I think Patrick is doing that today in his two different restaurant setups, and that's what we were doing at ESR as well. So within both groups, it was the same piece of software was being utilized in a variety of different ways. So if you have different service models or different tip pool structures, even location by location, there can be differences within your group. Whatever your rules are, the software, you know, as Patrick said, this was restaurant software designed by restaurant people, as opposed to a piece of technology designed by a technology person. And so it actually solves the problem of actual restaurant people.
And then the last one, I believe, is clarification. The software is set up to handle tip distribution and service charge fee simultaneously.
Yes. So both, again, however the money comes in, we can handle them all together or separately, or however your rules work for that.
Go ahead. I can give an example. Like at our full service restaurants, we don't have service charges except for the auto gratuities that come with a large party or a banquet. And Tip House is able to magically figure that all out so that we don't have to. So, and then we do the tip share with the rest of, you know, with the regular guests. So.
All right. The issue we are seeing with our current software is that it doesn't separate credit card tips from other non-cash tips. So it tries to charge the credit card tip fee to all non-cash tips. If I heard your answer correctly, this is not an issue with Tip House and can be programmed to only charge the fee to actual credit card tips?
Yes, you can set the rules differently for the different types. So you could, every other rule could be the same. And as the credit card comes in, you could take out, call it 3%, if that's the way you set it up for just the credit cards. And then you could use the exact same set of rules for gift cards or cash or the other types of tips coming in and not take the 3% reduction on those as well. So it would be, you just have to set up two rules that are identical, one that handles the credit card and takes the 3% out, and one that handles everything else and doesn't take the 3% out. So it's flexible based on a rule by rule basis.
All right. That's all the questions we have. So I am going to put your information up on the screen. So if anybody has questions later, they can go ahead and reach out to you at LinkedIn. Oh, there is one more question. Does Tip House work with the individual location to determine what the best allocation model would be for that particular business?
Absolutely. We make recommendations all the time based on what we see other groups doing and, you know, best practices and what's most successful for different business models. So if you're setting up your rules or you've got a set of rules and you want to make sure they're, you know, sort of in line with what other people are doing, we can absolutely make those recommendations. And what I'll say about, you know, putting my customer hat back on from my time at ESR again, the level of customer service that Tip House delivers is on par with the level of customer service and hospitality you expect from your teams. Somebody answers the phone when you call. The chat is not a bot that's just responding to you. It's a human that's actually like, hey, what's the real problem? Let's just hop on the phone and solve this really quick. So we know that this is a payroll item. We know this is people's money. We know it can be stressful to get payroll out on time. So we want to be there and support every single customer through the process. And that starts day one with setting up your rules, making sure it works well, making sure it's calculating the same as the way you do it today. So it's a very hands-on, white glove onboarding process. And then that support persists into perpetuity, because we know that if something isn't working right, you need help right now. And I will say, having implemented several dozen pieces of software into restaurants that I've owned or run over the last, you know, dozen, almost 15 years, good Lord, this is hands down the best customer service that I experienced as a restaurateur. So that white glove handholding is something you can expect from us. And, you know, I'm not going to ask Patrick to pat me on the back here, but hopefully that was this experience too.
I 100% agree. I was just talking to our director of IT yesterday about this. There are certain technology companies that we work with who have had just a massive drop off in customer service over the last few years. You know, you get a great rep and you love them, and of course they get promoted into somewhere else, and then you get this new rep who just isn't as responsive, and we've been having a lot of problems with some of our other tech companies, but that is definitely not the case with Tip House. John has been our rep since the beginning and was incredibly helpful as we tried to kind of figure everything out with quick service and what we should do. And, you know, our quick service directors had a, you know, difference of opinions, and he was able to help kind of provide the best possible path forward. And he's always very responsive when I send an email. Sometimes I'm like, you know, I'll send an email at midnight and he'll respond a couple minutes later. And so, I can't recommend Tip House highly enough.
All right. And if any of our viewers are interested, this is the link that I will put up along with this video in the description of the video later on today. And you can actually check out some information there. And I believe get a quote.
And one thing I'll say, because of the partnership between Tip House and the Washington Hospitality Association, all WHA members are eligible for a 10% discount on the software. So it's a benefit to WHA members to work through the WHA, and, you know, or you can go directly to the Tip House website and book yourself a demo, answer some of these other questions, or actually see the thing in real time, how the ETA works, how the rules setup works. Our team is really, really good at that. So you can book yourself a demo if you want. Just let them know that you're a member of WHA and they'll make sure you get your discounts. So.
All right. Well, thank you both so much for your time and all this useful information. Again, this will be up on our website later on today. And if you missed anything, you can go ahead and check it out. Or if you want to listen to it as a podcast, again, this will be available at wherever you get your podcasts, at Washington Hospitality Industry Podcast. Thank you very much and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Washington Hospitality Industry Podcast. Make sure to visit our website, wahospitality.org, where you can learn more about the restaurant and lodging industries and the Washington Hospitality Association. Be sure to subscribe to the show in iTunes, Google, Spotify, or iHeartRadio so you'll never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes. Thank you so much for that effort. Until next time.